Okay, good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, May 21st, 2019. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee, and it's 3:30 p.m. We're in Vets Hall in Morro Bay. We have a full quorum, all seven members in attendance here, so I'll call the meeting to order. And then I will ask if there are any announcements or anybody. I have to, but okay. So my first announcement is I noticed there is a meeting scheduled at 3:30 p.m. May 23rd, Thursday, at the Morro Bay Public Library. It's a Brown Act presentation sponsored by local attorney, Ms. Sally LaMaccia. I believe she has an office over in the Professional Center. So that's not sponsored by the city. This is just a item of interest that anybody has questions or wants to get a little more up to speed on the Brown Act. As you know, that governs how we conduct our meetings in business. Then I would encourage you to attend that meeting. I looked on their website. I didn't see any pre-registration required. So you might swing by the library Thursday at 3:30 if you have time and are interested. So that was my first announcement. The second thing, a little bit in the order of housekeeping, but I would like to figure out how we could maybe have some volunteers on this committee to either take notes of any of our salient points of discussion that we would include. The minutes that are excellent as they are done have several references to YouTube, and I know we go through a lot of discussion up here, but if there's anything besides a motion, which is obvious, a motion would be recorded, but sometimes we just have some general discussion, maybe have some caveats, and we're putting it on the city staff to make sure that information gets communicated to the rest of the world, namely the council, for their decision making and knowledge and interest. So I would like to, if we could have a volunteer, if that would be appropriate, maybe somebody on the team up here would agree. And I'm talking not a five-page summary. I'm talking a one-page maximum little summary of any points so that we could immediately get those out and included, as well as the questions and answers that so many of you have submitted. I thank you for your questions up here, but we have a lot of detailed answers that Jennifer and Sandy had to do a lot of work at the last minute to answer these, and we appreciate that, and I think we'd like to include those in the minutes as well. So thank you, Jennifer, for that. Would you have any would you have any problem with that, including those in the minutes? These, even no. If somebody up here had to collate or cut and paste so they're in some semblance of order.
No, that's fine. We can include them and maybe refer to them as a desk item or an addendum to the staff report.
I'm sorry?
We can refer to them as a desk item or something like that with the staff report so they're connected with the topic.
Okay. So would anybody want to take any high-level notes today of anything we discuss that we may not make a motion, but we think it's an important message to send back?
Just a question. What we're talking about is all the questions that we asked, and Jennifer and Sandy did a wonderful job of answering them. That would be included.
Yes.
And I would think an appropriate response would be then for those we could annotate those that we disagree with or have great dissatisfaction with, and that could be the foundation of what the minutes would end up being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to discuss every single question and answer,
right,
because
sure.
Some of these were provided at our last CFAC meeting. There's a couple that might have been duplicates,
right.
And that's our job. But if there are some we want to discuss further, need more additional information, or maybe don't understand or agree with the response, and we have some discussion, then maybe we would record that.
So let me just jump in, because I am not by any means an expert in city clerking or minutes taking, so I know it would be fine to include the responses we send out. It's certainly appropriate. Our rest of our minutes are action items only. They're not verbatim minutes, so I just want to check with our city clerk on any issues that may cause, and I'll get back to you at the next meeting if that's okay.
Okay. So anybody want?
Well, one of the things that I think is important is that we do have situations where we want to communicate to the city council from the committee in writing. And I think this kind of document would be very important. Like one of the questions, one of the responses to one of the questions regarding one of our topics this afternoon was any changes to the report would need to be recommended by a majority of CFAC and reviewed and approved by the City Council. I think we need to actually have a formal memorandum to the City Council about issues like that that we think we want to present to them. Does that make sense?
So I'm going to recommend that, bringing this up, we can add it maybe as a future agenda item to discuss, and we can work out the details with the city clerk if there's any concerns or Brown Act issues and figure out how to move forward with that.
Okay, so you're, if I understand, you're saying we won't do that today, but...
We'll incorporate the responses that were provided
okay.
by staff, and then we'll agendize this as a topic for okay. how to move it forward and comply with all the Brown Act regulations.
Are we looking for a volunteer? I'd be happy to go ahead and just take what we received from Jennifer and Sandy, and then any notes from the meeting today add to that. And then the other output would be, as Homer suggests, a memorandum that we would draft up and pass around. Is that a problem to do that with Homer?
Yeah.
That's always a problem with the Brown Act, but...
And that's why I think we should agendize this and come okay. back and let us have a conversation internally about... You can certainly make a recommendation as, mm-hmm. you know, take a vote, make a recommendation that would get reflected not only in the minutes, but we would share that with the City Council. If there's specific direction with that recommendation, if you want to have specific language and us include that in the, relay that information to Council. Mm-hmm. But anything beyond that with generating a memo that's then shared amongst you, I would be worried about Brown Act violations. So I think we need to have... more of an expert in that area to make sure we're complying with everything.
Yeah. You see what my intention was. I'm just trying to, one of the goals is enhanced communication. I'm trying to find a way to not duplicate effort with the minutes, but just summarize at a very high level and communicate that to folks. But you don't see a problem putting all these questions and answers in the minutes as they are now.
Yeah, we can do those as an attachment. I think that's probably fine.
Okay.
For today's conversation, if there's specific language you want relayed to the council, I would suggest you make that in a motion, and we'll share that motion and what the vote is with the council.
Okay. Can we do a motion today, or do we have to agendize this? And
we'll agendize this, but if it's something in reference to an item on the agenda,
I understand that. Yeah,
we do
that
all the time. With the budget or with the WARF, you could okay. consider making okay. a motion, and if you get the votes, we can share that with the council.
Okay. Okay. All right. So... Now we will rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
They need to write on here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. All right, that brings us to, first of all, open up for public comment for any item not on the agenda or an item on the agenda for which you cannot stay. Please step forward. Is there a sign-in sheet there?
No, there is not.
Oh, thanks.
This is kind of a cool meeting. It's kind of, anyhow. Hi, my name is Mimi Goldberg. I've been a resident of Morro Bay since 1989 and a friend of Bruce Gibson's. And I'm here to remind you of the mess they left when they went away. It's not fair to deny Morro Bay of a beautiful place where we stay, and you ought to know. Morro Bay is a bird sanctuary. We want to keep it clean. It's a rookery with peregrine falcons that are the fastest bird on the planet, or should I say galaxy. Morro Bay wants tourists, right? In order to really be a town that emulates what other beach communities want, let's be the forefront for them. We have birders and local sea enthusiasts and fishing port. A lot of fishing goes on here. if you don't see trash, I will hold your hands and walk you right up the dunes, right by the rock, west of the rock, and you'll see where it blows. And then, you know, I don't just talk the talk. I walk the walk. For instance, on the rainy day the other day, I went down to the rock and I went down to pick up trash, and there was a sand pail, and I couldn't fit it in the slot of the dumpsters. I'm working on getting trash cans back down at the rock. We really need them. Or you can come kayaking with me to the sand spit. I have two kayaks, a single and a double. I pick up trash there for a long time, but before it gets there, it has to cross the bay. I wonder how many tons have gone out to the Pacific Ocean. I've participated in bay cleanup, and oh boy, we hauled out everything from toilets to plastic tubes with crabs, and the girls were screaming. And as a result of what I'm passionate about, I have a re-torn meniscus, and I need knee surgery. It's not rocket science. Nobody in my whole 30 years here has said we need bocce ball courts. I've spoke with everybody regarding these trash cans back at the rock. Everybody agrees we need them back. They go, oh, why did they take them out? I just say coulda, shoulda, woulda, but I want to stay in the solution, and there's got to be a positive solution. We can all work together. Peace, love, and happiness. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Is there any other public comment? All right, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Any comment from staff? I believe this item was discussed at council.
The item was discussed at council, and our public works director addressed that the trash receptacles had been removed from the rock due to felt that there was less garbage being left without trash there, and modeling the carry in, carrying out. Our public works director is here if you have more information, or it can come up during part of the budget discussion as well.
Okay, because it is on the budget. Okay, thank you, Jennifer. All right, so that brings us to item A1 on the consent calendar, approval of minutes for the April 24th Special Citizens Oversight Finance Advisory Committee meeting. Any comments or any updates? Has everybody reviewed those, hopefully? And I didn't see anything to be updated. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as stated in our agenda. Thank you, John. Second, please.
I'll second.
Okay. That was John Martin on the approval, Lois on the second. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. That was Lois Johnson. I'm sorry. I didn't say your last name. All righty, let's move along to the business items. Item B1, discussion and input on the proposed fiscal year 2019 operating and capital budget, with a recommendation that staff recommends we discuss and provide input on the operating and capital budget. I guess before we open it up for discussion, let's talk about how we want to go through this. I did note there were a lot of very good questions from staff, some of them from our last CFAC meetings, and then some of them prior to the May 16th and the May 14th budget workshops here. And so many of those questions have already been answered. Two of us were in attendance, and I know some of the rest of you watched that. So I don't want to go through every single question because they've been asked and answered, and unless somebody doesn't understand the response or has a question or it's something that merits further discussion. So, and then there will be one more workshop on May 28th. Do you have a start time on that yet, Jen?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, May 28th here in the Vets Hall, 4 o'clock. And that's on the 10-year forecast, right?
Correct. We're updating the 10-year forecast, and we'll be presenting that as well as revenue options for the city.
Okay, so if we can't attend in person, we can watch that. That's May 28th at 4 p.m., or watch it on YouTube after it's uploaded. That's on the 10-year forecast, et cetera. So just want to point that out to everybody. So I think how we might want to go through this is, Jennifer, did you have anything on the staff report, B1, with go through it in the order it's in the agenda, and we'll use our notebooks for reference, or? Oh, okay. Right? We can't. How's the weather? No.
We'll just take a, if you want to take a break for a few minutes. If they don't come back online, we'll proceed, but give them a couple minutes to get
okay.
going.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Because it was... Well, it's all part of that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see that. How long was that out? Welcome back. Okay, so I'll go through this in sections, and then people can comment as appropriate or questions as appropriate. So we are on item... Just get everybody caught up here. We are on item B1, and that's in our staff report. That's the budget. Jennifer, did you have any preliminary comments to make, or can we just go through and start?
Let me just make a couple real quickly here. We did have the two budget study sessions at the council, expressed their appreciation and gratitude for the committee and all the questions that you had asked in advance. As the chair mentioned, we have one more budget study session left. You have been provided with revised financial summaries, a triangle lot budget page, and a revised Morrow Creek restoration capital project page. Those were as attachments to the staff report. In addition, at the 16th study session, we were asked to add a Surf Street Stairs capital project page. It would be unfunded, but the intent being that it is still on the books, per se, for discussion and alternatives if we can find one that's more cost effective, and also to either revise or add to the Vets Hall project. Right now it's listed as phase one with the audio visual, which clearly we need based on 30 seconds ago, but incorporating more of the overall facility remodel into that. So we're working on revising those two, and they will be in the June version that's presented for adoption. So other than that, there have been a substantial number of questions. I think we've responded to them all. So I'll let the committee go through and ask questions as you see fit.
Okay, thank you. So everybody understands that there's going to be a couple minor adjustments, and that's based on the feedback from the first workshop and council direction. So if we look at the first section, which was the transmittal letter, the table of contents, description, history, I didn't see anything in there that I don't think we had too many questions on that. So if you go right ahead.
Okay, and this is not really something that has to do with numbers, but demographics are inserted into the document for the first time this year.
And
for the life of me, I don't understand what race and ethnicity has to do with budgeting. I understand age, income, employment, those kind of demographics impact the budget, but I don't understand what race and ethnicity, what the impact of that has on the budget.
We took a lot of this language from the Plan More Obey document, the intent being to add an overall kind of community profile. There's an aspect of that, I think it's for the GFOA budget submittal, to have kind of a community overview or profile section. There's not specifics that I'm aware of or recall off the top of my head as to what needs to be included in that. If the demographics are, you don't want those, we can certainly recommend removing those.
Well, I guess my question would be, what does it have to do with budgeting or the city's financial status or anything that's in this document?
It's my interpretation of what GFOA and including this is that you're presenting a picture of the community that this budget is funding services for. And like I said, I'm not sure there's detail as to what that information needs to be, so we tried to compile from the documents that we had and what seemed to fit and work in the conversation. Overall, we're looking at, you know, a community of 3 or 4 square miles, 10,000 people. The idea of the economic development areas and the type of services that are provided are being provided to that community. I'm certainly happy to revise it. It was our first attempt at doing that, so I don't have a lot of tie to what's necessarily in there at this point.
Where is this, John? I get that you see this, and what is the concern?
Well, it's on page A14. Page
A14. Is it A18? A14. Oh, okay.
No, mine says A14.
Are we waiting for an answer as to why it's there, or are you going to make a motion as to taking out?
Well, no, we're doing the meeting up here. Basically, if there's any discussion or anybody wants to make a motion or whatever, I think Jennifer answered, it sounds like that's standard practice. It's included, paints a little more picture. I guess my concern would be if it were deemed discriminatory in any way, maybe you'd want to exclude it. But you say GFOA likes to see it, so.
Well, I'm not sure they specified that specific language, but the requirement is to have some kind of community profile in it, whether that includes demographics, age, race, or that kind of thing. I'm not sure they're specific on that. I'd have to go back and look. Mm-hmm. Again, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on this for discussion and probably have more interest in the numbers, but if there's a strong feeling on it, I'm certainly willing to hear that.
You might explain why they don't add up. I guess people could check more than one box or something. Unless my math looks like just taking 9778 and 1766 without the other ones, you get more than 10640.
Oh, I'd have to go back and look at the source document. Like I said, I took this right out of Plant Morrow Bay, so I'd go back and look at any notes in there.
Yeah. Okay, does anybody have any strong comments or feelings or whatever, or want to make any kind of motion?
I would make a motion that age, income, employment, those types of things that have an economic impact and can be discussed in the body of this document should be included, but race and ethnicity have nothing to do with budget or city income or any such thing, and those type of data should be removed.
All right, so we have a motion. Do we have a second for that motion? No second, sorry, John. Duly noted. But yeah, if you want to check and make sure, I think the numbers, well, they look like they add up, but whatever. Let's move on. So that's section A. Was there anything else?
I have a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Lois, please.
On A8, I appreciated the 10-year forecast, and I just want to point out it's scary. So I'm, interested in what happens there on the May 28th meeting. The reason it's scary is because, you hit 2026, and even with the emergency reserve, it's negative. So I'll just point that out.
Good point. And that may come up later in some of our other discussion on fund reserve, et cetera, some things. So, any other comments, questions, Section A? Let's move on to the financial summaries. Section B, please. By the way, a lot of this was explained well in the workshop. Very helpful, so.
I have some questions on B5.
Sure, please.
Well, in B5, if you take a look at the 2018-19 estimated compared to the adopted budget, there's a couple of significant shortfalls. General fund, about a $365,000 shortfall, and in the enterprise funds, $920,000 difference between adopted budget and estimated revenues. And when I trace this through, you have to go back to, page C46, which is what shows all the transfers, and the difference is in transfers. Mm-hmm. And so if you take a look at C46, and I'm not sure that the numbers on C46 under the estimated column are correct or not, because there is a conflict between those data and what you see back in the enterprise funds data. But I just wonder if you, Jennifer, maybe could comment on the difference, the variance that shows up on page B5 between the adopted and the estimated. And is that going to be significant going forward? I know that a large part of the general fund balancing is based on transfers in, and it seems like if it's not going to get the transfers in that were planned, that might result in a difficulty for the general fund this year. And we're not getting a third quarter financial report to see, so.
So the significant ones that are different are with legal for water, sewer, harbor, and the treatment plant. Those are based on actuals rather than like a cost allocation plan. So as we get those bills in, and we're always about a month and a half behind with those bills, the actual time spent on like wastewater treatment plant and our water specific fund has been much lower than we anticipated. It was not how we've budgeted for this in the past, so we didn't really have much guidance as to what those numbers would be. So they truly are estimates. They could come in higher, but we won't be transferring more in than was actually incurred in those funds, which okay, so, also means expenditures would be less.
Okay, so you're not yeah. you're not really showing that difference, though, on the expenditure side. That's why.
So the expenditures were, you're right, we're not necessarily showing those, but the wharf has changed, has skewed that a little bit, too, because that's built separately and is funded in capital, and we're having to break those out. So there's a lot of analysis with this. I'm not concerned that it's going to bring us in under budget or in a deficit at this point.
Thank you. And I guess the, on the enterprise fund side, it was just the water accumulation fund is where the difference is. If you look at that enterprise fund in the back, that's where the variance is. And I don't recall, I mean, looking at the adopted budget column in that water accumulation fund, it shows that, I'm going to get back and forth here. Actually, it's the water revenue fund, page H7. So in the amended budget column, it shows that the original plan or the plan for the budget was to end the fiscal year with a $915,000 deficit. And that I just don't recall that.
No, so we transferred 17-18 money to accumulation in early 18-19 after we closed the books, which is causing it to look like we used essentially the fund balance in that fund or the cash balance in that fund when we closed and transferred it this year rather than 17-18. Does that help? It's throwing off the numbers, but we'll go back and confirm that that is correct because it shouldn't have a negative balance there.
All right, so you'll take that action on the 915K negative. Thank you. Thanks, John. Go ahead. Anybody, Bart, you have any comments on this section?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. John, are you done?
Done.
Take your time. We're good. We're going to get this right. So,
and I have to apologize because we submitted so many questions, and Jennifer's been great about addressing the mm-hmm. questions. And you know, you go through these numbers and you miss a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then you go through them again and you see stuff. So, sorry that I didn't submit yeah. these questions.
This isn't the PTA budget we're talking about.
Yeah. So on section mm-hmm. B. So just for Jennifer, before you take a closer look at page B8 is general fund revenues by department. Mm-hmm. And then on B10, there's general fund revenues by category. And there's a couple of totals there that don't match up. On the 17-18 actuals and on the 18-19 estimated. So just something to...
Yeah.
Take another mm-hmm. another look at, and that was all I had in section B.
Okay, we'll go back and double check those.
Homer, go ahead.
Did you decide to add a surplus deficit number to the bottom of the chart on B11 for the general fund?
I know that was a comment that came in, and we have that flag to change for the final production.
I'm sorry, did you say yes?
Yes, we will.
Great.
A
Anything else for Section B? Let's see, Lois, Dave, or Bill? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little confused as a new guy. I thought we were going to be going through the staff report and all the documents and the pages in the staff report. Is that something? Attachment was the meeting that was mm-hmm. 14 May. You know, one of my first question was, why do we show revenue at 13 million and expenditures at 14 million? Of course, there's an explanation. You go to C46. Mm-hmm. But the problem that citizens have is so many documents they see show a $1 million shortfall. So we have people in this city running around saying we're short $1 million. We need to learn how to present things mm-hmm. and understand people that are not very knowledgeable, mm-hmm. and I'm a good one for that. Don't understand that money's being transferred in, or when they know money's being transferred in, transferred from enterprise funds, somehow to understand they're not just robbing the WRF money to put into this to balance the budget. But you hear all those things from the citizens who do see snippets and don't see the totality of it. So sort of an editorial comment. Jennifer, thank you very much for your answer to the question. I can understand where the $1 million difference mm-hmm. is in the chart, but the chart's sometimes cause problems.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. Yeah, typically we do go through the agenda in the order the documentation is, but those were summary and presentations that were presented at the workshops. So, and since all of it's based on the detail in the budget, that's why I thought it'd be best instead of just jumping around, we would go through this. But at the end, I'd be more than happy to do a catch-all for anything that's missed on that. And Homer, you had a comment?
Well, I just wonder, in the future, what happens if you put the two charts on B10 and B11 on the same page, as a typical operating statement would look like, mm-hmm. with a surplus deficit at the bottom? Wouldn't that alleviate Bill's problem and make it clear?
Sure, we can do that. And not that this isn't a valuable conversation, but we do have to end at 5:45 for the Planning Commission. So if there's things in this budget that we want to discuss before we go to council again, I think that's probably a good use of time. Okay. And the things for next year, we can do a follow-up and agendize that.
Okay, thank you. All right, thanks, Bill. Good comment. Moving right along then, we'll go to Section C. We had a lot of questions there and a lot of comments there. Go ahead, John. You have any? Yeah. Any comments, questions? Okay. A lot of the questions were answered and explained in the workshop, so if we're not asking questions, it's not because we don't have them. This is what it is. And all right, well, that's Section C. That's the police, the fire, the admin. It's quite a bit. Community development. I'm sure the harbor was in there. And the recreation. All right, let's move on to Section D, the risk management and some other things. Comments there? Anybody have any comments? This is Section D.
Just have one. Take a look at D9, Jennifer. It's the last paragraph says that the facility maintenance fund is estimated to end fiscal year 20 with an unassigned fund balance of $75,000. And on the table, it shows it ending with a balance of $12,274.
Yeah, we have that tagged to correct. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that was in one of the questions, so it probably came in at the last minute. Thanks, John, for pointing that out. I just wanted to see my colleagues' opinion on D23, the general emergency reserve. We had some questions. Thank you for answering those. I did notice on some of the questions where the funding for some of these service funds were there weren't going to be contributions this year, like compensable leave and some of those, and we were hoping with some new revenues such as cannabis and that we would backfill those. So my concern is with that is I think some we ought to be a little more, our city ought to be a little more aggressive about backing up some of these funds or the capital replacement funds, as opposed to right out of the gate, if we get some new revenues, well, we've already targeted it, that has to be backfilled for some of these other funds, like the compensable leave. Maybe there needs to be changes in how we handle that or negotiate that, as opposed to hoping for a new tax revenue to beef up some of these funds. Same thing with some of the capital accumulation for the replacement and vehicles and things like that. Otherwise, somebody's coming to Measure Q or going to have to finance things because we haven't saved. So just a general comment, but I'm interested in anybody else's thought. And maybe, Jennifer, you might
have. Yeah, let me add a little bit on to that. So the intention being that for this year or in 1920, using one-time revenue source, nothing has been determined by council. We would have to come back to council, ask for any one-time revenues when cannabis starts coming in, and get a recommendation from council on where to put that. Staff's recommendation likely will be to go to these internal service funds and at least hit the minimum funding level. That's also why we're having a discussion on revenue options. The budget, as you see in the 10-year forecast, cannot sustain incorporating into the bottom line budget contributions to these. Compensated absences aside, just general facilities maintenance, replacement, vehicle replacement, those are not things we can change, negotiate away, or anything like that. They're just fundamental to providing services. So that's why we'll be having that discussion with the council on the 28th, at least kicking that off, and try to narrow down some revenue options to pursue and focus our time on for the upcoming year, and whether those are something that needs to go on a ballot or not. We need to get on that path if we're going to do it. So we're aware that the process isn't sustainable the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a gap measure, and we're also building those replacement schedules so that mm-hmm. in the future we know how much contribution annually the general fund needs to make for replacement of vehicles. We don't have mm-hmm. to come to Measure Q and ask for that money.
Okay. That's a reasonably good explanation. It just seemed like in previous years, first we started these funds, that was great, even if you just dropped in 25, 50K. Then as soon as we get some challenges, sometimes I think we have to make tough decisions versus, oh, let's just use the emergency reserve or something else and not do that. And basically it's a short-term solution, in my opinion, but that's just my thought. Any other comments or questions or anything else in this section anybody would like to comment on? Okay, moving right along. But thanks, we will bring that back, I'm sure. Measure E, excuse me, Section E was Measure Q. We had a long discussion on that. Is there any other further comments or questions there? I think we covered that quite adequately. All right, let's go to tourism, Section F. Questions, comments there, please. Is there any feedback from staff on the Amgen tour? Any kind of soft, I watched some of the T-bit. In general, I thought it was very well received, although I'm sure some of us heard some negative comments as well. But do you have any hard metrics yet on anything or the cost or what the city, that would be for this year's budget? But
so we have a debrief scheduled for the 28th internally with staff. Certainly by appearances, there were several, the town was full of people, which was great to see. We didn't spend any general fund dollars on Amgen. It was all from the TBID accumulation fund, and then SoCal contributed $30,000 as well. So there weren't actual general fund dollars spent, with the exception being staff that are funded in the general fund, such as our consolidated maintenance crew, and if they had to go out and do closures or pick up garbage or that kind of thing. But in terms of actual dollars,
that was minimal?
I don't know the exact amount of hours, but I don't think it was a substantial amount of their time. We had some fire support for planning and all of that, same with police, and we'll probably discuss that during our debrief. But in terms of actual dollars paid out, none of it was general fund.
So the city wasn't, as we heard from some people, buying all these hotel rooms and everything else. That was all through the T-bid and SLOCAL. It wasn't general fund, just for clarification. Thank you. Anything else on? Anybody else want to comment on anything in Section F?
Just a question. Sure. With the new hotel going in on North Main, is that expected to increase the transient occupancy tax?
New hotels likely would. The one on North Main, is that the one by the high school?
Not too far.
Yeah. So likely it would. Same with the one that opened up down on the Embarcadero. Salty Sister, I think, is the name of it. It's a smaller boutique kind of hotel. There's a couple of things with tourism or hotels. So there's a saturation point that naturally occurs. The one down on the Embarcadero is a little bit more of a boutique kind of different experience than we currently have, so would likely draw a new crowd. Not sure about the one on Main Street, but it could just take from another existing hotel. So
right. I was wondering if it's built in.
We don't build
any of those
in.
Assumptions are built in, so that would be incremental.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so that's Section F. And then we have other funds, starting with Public Works in Section G. Do we have some comments and questions there? Go ahead, John, please.
Yes, question about the transit. So the employees that drive the trolley and the buses and such, those are not city employees? That's all done under contract with somebody? Is that right?
That's correct. They're contract employees.
So who is the entity that provides those employees?
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rob Light, Public Works Director. That would be MV Transportation.
I believe they're out of the valley. They have a multi-year contract to provide transportation services for the city. So we own the vehicles. We contract out the drivers for the vehicles.
Thanks, Rob. So anything else in Section G? Transit.
Yeah, I just have one question.
Yeah.
The Triangle Lot boat storage yard, is that being handled outside of the Harbor Enterprise Fund because it's a new thing and it's kind of a trial period? Or?
It's in a separate fund now. That was based on council direction. It was determined that it is not in the Tidelands Trust area, so not necessarily dedicated to Harbor. We set it up as a separate fund, so it could go to Harbor should council wish for something to, you know, be directed that way. It could go to a general fund need, all based on appropriation when we go to council. So it is a trial, though, and there's not a significant amount of revenue coming into it. The Harbor Department is overseeing that, and they charge their time and get reimbursed for that piece of it.
Thank you. Anything else, folks? All right, let's move on to the Enterprise Funds, Section H. Maybe start on the right. Bill, did you have anything on those? Any of those?
Yes, on H24, just the ending cash balance is a negative $243,000 for the amended 18-19 budget.
We'll make note of that and look into it as well as the water.
Good point. Thank you. All Did anybody here have any questions on some of the, I've seen these questions come in intermittently, not just from us, but, you know, on social media or whatever, on any of the capital improvement projects or anything that, as it relates to the water, sewer? I've seen some questions coming in around there, so I don't want to just gloss over this, and especially while we have somebody here to answer.
Just in this section on H25 is a list of the different projects. I was surprised that I&I was not listed as one of the projects, because it's certainly a very important one that gets lots of attention. Is there some reason it's not there, or?
Are you referring to the key program services?
Yeah, key program services, is that not a service?
That's under the sewer fund, so I'll refer to our public works director, utilities manager, to answer that.
Thank you, Ms. Bowes.
Thanks, Rob.
The inspection for I&I is included in this item. If you look at, which number is it, smoke testing. We also do flow testing around town to determine where the I&I inflow and infiltration, that stormwater during high rain events that inflows into the system through manholes, typically being in a depression or infiltration from stormwater leaking in through pipes. So we do periodic video and smoke inspection of our sewer mains to establish a list that will be incorporated into the capital project. So you notice we have included all 5 years from the One Water Plan in the capital program. And while the rate study assumed a kind of a level spending of $1 million or so dollars each year, that's really not how you would deliver those projects. You would deliver them by doing the planning, environmental, and design first, and then have a large construction period, and then close it out with a smaller amount to close out the job. So it would kind of look like a skewed bell curve on expenditures. So lower expenditures going into construction, higher expenditures, and then dropping off. So likely will not, definitely will not spend an even amount each year on those projects.
Now, is that project listed, the I&I repair?
For two of our major sections in town in the capital projects, I don't remember the numbers.
Yeah, one's on Main Street, I recall.
Main Street, yeah. And then the Beachcomber area.
Right.
We have two major I&I projects.
What happened
there
this year then? Is that right?
It'll start this year. It'll be accomplished over the next 5 years.
Got it. Thanks, Rob.
And the same thing is true on the water side, where we have many projects that were listed in the One Water Plan as individual projects. Doesn't make sense to build these small projects when they're all tied together and need to kind of all come together at the same time. Do design work first, permitting, environmental, then construction, then project closeout.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. That's a good explanation.
Don't go anywhere.
Oh, okay. Okay. Don't relax. Stay there. Go ahead, Homer.
I just wanted to follow up on a point that the mayor and one other city council member made at the workshop last Thursday. There's 25 public works projects funded for 1920 for $2,176,000. And basically that take Christmas vacation out, and that's one every 2 weeks.
That is not what our small staff can accomplish on our own.
We'll
need to use contract consulting engineering services to deliver these projects.
Have you added up the numbers on the outside contracting for the next 5 years to see whether or not your little staff could be augmented and actually spend less money and get more work done?
No, we haven't done that.
That's a good exercise. It's a lot of money. The other thing I wanted to point out is back to the water capital improvement projects and the non-WRF sewer projects. Currently on the city's website, there are three different sets of numbers. Now, you just explained one of them in the sense that the rate study is set up as an even $1 million a year. But the One Water Plan, which is now, thank you, on the front page of the city's website, if you go to Chapter 8 in that, it's got that original plan in that calls for $14 million in water projects in the next 5 years and about $8 million in sewer projects. And then, of course, you have to look at this budget that we're currently looking at, and you got another number, another set of numbers. And I don't know if anybody would ever take the time to dig into those three different documents, but it was surely confusing, I would think, to the average citizen about what's going to happen in the next 5 years in terms of getting these projects done. Right, Bart? So just point that out to you, that those are, those three sets of numbers are out there in the public domain.
And I'm making this as an assumption, but the One Water Plan also has revised tables that show the One Water Plan should have revised tables.
Thank you.
Showing the basis of the rate study.
Yes.
It doesn't.
No. And I looked at it half an hour ago.
Okay.
That's all I had to say, Barbara.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Bart, did you have a comment? Please.
I do. This is basically picking up from more from last month, in fact. And I've made this comment probably over the last year and a half. The 2015 to 18 vote, or whatever we call it, the initiative, included $14 million for doing various projects. Those were never done, basically, never done. The $14 million was baked in to the rates. So in other words, we went out to the community and said, please, we would like to do this work. And our commitment to you was we will deliver those items. And we agreed to have a rates raise because you're going to do that. You're going to build a wharf and you can do this $14 million worth of projects. And we came along to the last 218 vote and we hadn't done the first $14 million. That $14 million got swept under the rug. And then we put another $11 million in, some of which is on tables H15 and H32, and probably in other places. So if you look at H15, for example, you've got the projects that were on in the rate study, the Barrels and Wells rate study, the Blanco tanks fill line for $750,000, et cetera. The same thing basically on H32. If I use the example of the water, the new estimate for this year, the $1 million of improvements that were committed to went away, and it was replaced by $100,000, and then we were proposing $382,000 for next year, which isn't any of those projects that were listed for water, and again, it's similar. What I intimated was it looks like we're going out and asking for money for things that we aren't going to do. I don't believe anything has changed in the last 4 years relative to knowing whether or not we could handle these projects, whether or not we could do them or not, and we're not doing them. And what kind of reinforces that is the answer we got to a question about this proposed. I quote, relative to why we aren't doing these, and I don't believe anything's changed from when you asked for the money in the rate case to where we are now. Nothing's changed. But we're not doing it. Quote, it also ensures that there is sufficient cash on hand for the primary directive, the WERF project. Should I read it again? Basically what it's saying is, yes, we put a placeholder in, and if we need that money for the WERF project, that's what we're going to do. That was what my concern was. So I don't know what the council is going to do. They've known about this. and I brought it up. I don't know what more to say that, yes, I've heard the explanations, but nothing's changed. Nothing. We've known the staffing we've got. What was said before was we need to postpone this until we have the WERF project to integrate the work, to do it more efficiently together. And now this is being moved off again. Personally, this is one of those items that I would have said, let's make a note to the council to officially say, what do you want to do? But I'm concerned about how this is being managed.
Any comments or response? We do want to clarify this. I'm not sure I fully understood all of Bart's, but I think it merits some answer and response and discussion.
Sure. The capital projects were included in the current rate study at approximately a level spending of $1 million a year. I think I've gone over that. Mm-hmm. We probably can't deliver it like that because we need to do design before we do construction. And these projects make sense to design to deliver, make sense to design together and deliver with one construction project. So there'll be lower spending in the early years, higher spending in the outer years. Also, the rate study made an assumption of when cash would be coming in to the water and sewer enterprise funds. That was an assumption. Cash has not come into the water and sewer enterprise funds like it was anticipated. We have not closed the WIFIA loan yet. We have not closed other supplemental financing. So we need to ensure the primary capital project, which is the WERF project, and then work on other supplemental capital projects. Take a little exception to $14 million swept under the rug. It didn't go anywhere but into the accumulation fund. We saved that cash, and we've programmed those projects to do over the next 25 years with the One Water Plan.
So let me just piggyback a little bit on that, too. The reason that there's projects in the 18-19 amended budget on the water and sewer capital improvement page, H15, and I forget the other page you referenced, we did add those at mid-year, I think, is when they came in. Having been with the city now for a year and a half, I can say I saw the One Water Plan being completed and adopted at the same time the rate study was going on. These were brought forward at mid-year, understanding that they were in the One Water Plan as the first level of projects. After we included them, had a discussion with our consultant that did the One Water Plan, also our program manager, on the timing and what made sense to do that with the construction of the WERF project, and it was consciously determined to revisit those and not start work because it didn't make sense. So, I mean, that's what I witnessed. I know that's why they got included at mid-year. We are trying to do the most efficient completion of the One Water projects with the WERF project, with the cash we have on hand. And once we figure out and have the final funding for the project, that may change even more as if we are successful in getting SRF as we've been recommended. It's a very low interest rate. We might utilize that more than our cash and have cash available more to complete projects sooner if there's capacity. So I expect these to change as we get more of the details on all of that going forward. Maybe if I'm wrong on that, Rob can correct me, but it's transpiring almost daily in my mind.
I mean, we make our best estimate of when we can get this work done. Sometimes our estimates are wrong.
What has changed from when you submitted your request for the 218? Part of it you're saying is timing, right? You said that we didn't get the money from the loans. So why have you changed the projects that were going to be done? I mean, and you did the same thing with the 2015. They've moved out. What if you not, you knew all of this when you submitted for the latest 218?
The latest 218, we needed to determine what the rates needed to be. It wasn't to program capital projects. That wasn't the purpose of that financial analysis. It was to make an estimate how much rates needed to be.
And
we go through a separate programming process for the projects to be accomplished with the amount of funding that was collected through the rates. So we approximated about $1 million a year that would be into the rates for capital projects. We will end up spending that total amount at the end of 5 years with these same capital projects. We just won't spend it in $1 million increments each year.
Okay, I don't know if I'm clear to my colleagues or not from what I'm saying. I'd like to make sure I'm clear to my colleagues of my concern. I guess Barbara's not too sure. So can I help clarify your questions? At least what my point is. You may not agree with it, but at least that you understand what my point is.
Well, so here's my clarification. So let's go back to 2015, and we had that rate increase. And yes, we didn't do the work for whatever reason, and a lot of it, we know what the reasons are, and they're very good reasons. But we did put that into accumulation for the water and sewer, and I know I verified with that with Jennifer shortly after she came on board, and I believe it was around the $10-11 million in both of those funds together. In other words, all that increase from 2015 through when the rates went up through 2018, much of that, not all of it, because part of it was the water portion hadn't been raised in 20 years, and I'm sure a portion of that was just COLA cost increase, but all of that was put into the accumulation funds. And then I think what happened, Rob, and if I understand you, Bart, because that went in the accumulation funds, that was perceived as cash on hand when we did the rate study to determine what the new rates would be to actually build this facility. So I don't understand where the $14 million came from.
So you're saying that we've got $25 million total to be spent on these projects in the years to come?
I'm saying.
You say $14 million plus 11. That the rate requests include.
I don't know where the $14 million is coming from. I'm sorry.
That was the Prop 218. There was a document very similar to the one that the Blue Ribbon Committee went through in 2015 mm-hmm. that had a listing of projects. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why there's a listing of projects if all it is a placeholder for doing stuff. I would have thought there was some significance personally to why you would put an actual listing in.
Oh, okay.
But there was the paperwork were very, very similar in both years.
So. I'm gonna interrupt here because we need to stay focused on the budget piece of this too. So okay. If we need to talk about the 14-15 rate study, I hate to keep doing that, but it's not an agendized item. I get the connection with the capital projects.
Mm-hmm.
I would just add to keep in mind that we didn't collect $14 million in the first year of that rate increase from the 14-15 result. That's over a period of time. When the consultant came in to do the latest increase, it was a reevaluation of what projects were done or not done, what still needs to be done, and how much money do we need to complete those along with the wharf. Again, to the extent that we're off topic on budget and talking about a prior rate increase, we probably need to have a conversation about agendizing that.
Okay. I've got a different question.
Thank you.
The projects, I don't understand the concept. This is now on the capital projects, the unfunded. Let me use the 41 and 1 interchange as an example. I don't understand why we're printing paper that has this when I don't think there's any chance that we're going to do this in the near future. Is there some reason why we might? And that's just one example, but there's a lot of unfunded work there that does not seem at all reasonable that we're going to get there. So why do we include it in, geez, we'd like to do this when we know we're probably not, or to prioritize would be the other thing to do, to say, okay, we're not going to do this, but this is how we would, you know, apportion it out of $5 million a year or something and say, this is what we would do if we did that. But there may be some reason that I'm not aware of in doing budgets why you need to have, and you used the word placeholder a little while ago, to keep it there. What is the logic behind that?
So I think that's a fair question. This was our first year, kind of a revised format with this, and our thought or intention was to start compiling a capital improvement plan over a five-year period. We've put in the unfunded projects that we see as priorities and needing to be done. If there's not funding, it gives us an idea of what we're lacking and what we need to try to make up in order to complete some of these projects. So at the last year's budget study session, there were questions asked about what are our unfunded needs, if you will, or what capital and infrastructure needs do we have that we haven't had funding for. And we threw out some kind of rough estimates, but this way we have a plan. We can see exactly what they are. We can start discussions about prioritizing those, or to the extent that new monies come available, funding those. And it's very clear and transparent. Maybe we didn't hit the mark with that, but that was the attempt and the first kind of take at doing that.
So they're prioritized?
They're not listed in a priority at this point, but we don't have a full comprehensive list either. We did pretty well with the storm drains. There's certainly not a full listing of street work and other infrastructure throughout the city, so we're still working on trying to develop that. Harbor in particular has a long list of capital needs that we're compiling and like to present in some format so we can see what those needs are, even if they're not funded.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A little clarification on 41 in Maine. We may need to revisit the table because we do have STIP funding. If I can remember what STIP acronym, State Improvement, some funding from the state.
Infrastructure Improvement or something.
That was traded for CMANC funded to make it fully state funded to get us through design on the project. So we do have that money available. We will be also working with our funding partner, SLOCOG, to make application for ATP, alternative transportation planning, to fund the pedestrian element of the project. And as projects are less likely to be developed, there's projects all around the county that have partial funding that may not be able to be delivered. We're hoping to secure some of that money for this project.
Maybe I used a bad example. It was a generic question that I was really trying to get at, the concept of a lot of unfunded projects.
Yes.
I have a question regarding the capital. I'm assuming if you get the commitment letter signed sometime this summer for the two loans, that in the early fall you'll bring to us a cash flow analysis, at which point we could see how much money is actually freed up to do the non-WRF projects? Is that a wishful thinking?
Not wishful thinking, but there's a couple components to it. So once we have signed loan agreements, we'll know the interest rates on those loans. We'll have our rate consultant, we're looking at bringing him back on board to do some analysis because that might change the cash flow of what we use, cash on hand. They're both SRF and WIFIA reimbursement based, so we need to understand how quickly we get those reimbursements once we submit, so we know how much cash we need to float in advance for that. So it'll be a complex analysis once we get the loans assigned and we have a better idea of the rates.
You bring the rate consultant back after, correct, after you get the loans?
As we progress through this and we get determination if we will be awarded SRF based on the recommendation, we'll probably have them on board at that point, knowing that we're working through the agreements.
Sounds good. I'm sorry.
And one other comment for Mr. Leivick. After that exercise is completed in the fall, then I would hope you'd really move forward on a couple of the projects that you've listed here in the budget, specifically in the water fund, which obviously has nothing to do with the WRF, Nutmeg Tank in particular, and also maybe get started on the Beach Street gravity base, which again probably isn't affected by the WRF. So you don't have to hear about it at every single public meeting. That's the only suggestion.
Yes, we will get started on those projects. a little on regarding those projects. A friend just pointed out to me that the I had to call a friend on page 202, starting at, or 303 of the PDF on One Water, shows those new tables that's online. So what we're going to do is pull those new tables out and have them as a separate link, so you can see the revised tables.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good. Thanks, Rob.
And
because they're buried fairly well deep back into the bowels of that report.
Not to revisit this, but just another level of that is once we have loan agreement signed, we've done some cash flow analysis, the wharf surcharge will go into effect for July, and a year from that, we have a new policy to revisit those charges. So we'll be coming back to council about this time next year with an update on the water sewer charges, where we're at, what we've collected, what we've spent, and if it's still an appropriate level. So there's another level of review coming back.
Okay, thank you. That's good to know. That would be in next year for next July 1st, 2020. Okay, thanks. Anything else in this section, H? All right, moving right along. Capital projects, that's section I think. So let's see, do we have it?
Yeah, I have some questions.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Yeah, so this is for Rob, I think.
Don't rest too long.
So Rob, in the list of projects you have about, I guess it's a little excess of $6 million of unfunded storm drain projects.
Yes.
At this point, there is no funding for those. That would have to come out of general fund, am I correct? Because there's no Measure Q funding going for storm drains as of now.
Not currently. Measure Q funding could be used for storm drain projects, but it's a balancing act between streets and storm drains. And storm drain is not an enterprise fund. So general fund would be the appropriate funding mechanism for that.
Okay. So for the next fiscal year, there's two items, pages I-11 through I-14. You've actually showing them as two separate projects, but they really are one project, a 27-inch storm drain and a 30-inch storm drain. And according to the budget, you're going to be spending in the neighborhood of $33,000 next fiscal year to do the design and such, and the construction costs on those projects is in excess of $1.5 million. So, and then you've got a schedule here that you're looking at completion in summer of 2021. So can you explain to us how that's going to actually happen?
We probably need to revise this schedule because unless there's funding available, it won't be accomplished. It should be TBD probably instead of an actual date there.
Okay, so you spend the $33,000 to do the engineering, but the $1.5 million to do the project is nowhere to be seen. What happens to those plans?
They await funding, like many projects do.
They sit on a shelf.
They sit on a shelf.
And the city spent $33,000 for a project that
would be ready to list once we have a funding source. So
is there any kind of granting entity for storm drains?
Not for this type of storm drain work. This is routine stormwater system maintenance. If we were doing something like what we're doing at down at Tidelands Park with the pocket park / boat wash water quality feature, there's grant money available for things like that. But for putting pipes in the ground for stormwater projects, I don't know of any granting agency for that. Okay. There's... We can borrow money for that, but then we'd have to have a funding source to pay that money back.
Let me just add on to that, if you don't mind. Both of those are being funded with impact fees. So the design work is being expensed through restricted funds that we can't use for a variety of other purposes. The intent being that the design would be complete should we be able to find funding. The alternative, if we don't use impact fees, is they go back to the contributor. So there is some advantage to using them and having a project ready to go should we be able to find it. Funding.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well,
that helps. Yeah. That yeah, really that helps does.
A lot. Thank you. I do have some other
go questions. Ahead, John.
Okay.
Sure.
In the transit items, I'm a little confused on the trolley. Is that one trolley or two trolleys?
What page?
What page is that on, John? I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to have to find it here. She said it's one, huh? Okay,
there's a trolley and a bus purchase.
Okay, here we go. So it's I-90 and 91 is the trolley. So in the current fiscal year, there was a budget for $195,000.
John, is your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Just speak a little closer to it. You're okay. Too tall.
So $195,000 for a trolley in the current fiscal year, that's being carried over, right? My understanding is that was to replace a 2003 trolley, and now the budget for next year is going to be a total of $395,000, and that's still for just one trolley?
It should be just one trolley. We might be double counting there. Sandy's going to clarify that for us.
Hi, Sandy Martin. I believe Janine Burlingame is our transit director, and my best recollection of her discussion was this is a timing thing because this trolley was ordered and it's in development. It just wasn't going to be delivered in this fiscal year and paid for until, you know, we click back past 7/1/2019. And then she has an additional trolley that's going to be purchased. So that's why she did the carryover, because this is a trolley that we were budgeted in the year we're in right now, 18/19. And then, yes, that there was going to be an additional trolley purchased
in an outer year,
in the 19/20 year. It was just a timing difference of delivery of the trolley.
Okay, so it sounds to me like what you're saying is that $395,000 buys two trolleys.
Yes.
And you're saying it only buys one trolley.
Well, that's all the trolley people think they're getting, but that's okay.
But that's my best recollection of how Janine was describing this.
Okay, so yeah. Then in the outer year in 21/22. $215,000. That's for a third trolley.
Third trolley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that wasn't clear in the way it was written up, so
we'll clarify that then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And then on the bus,
right,
which is the next page, so this year there's a carryover of about $84,000 to buy a bus. And then in the next year, 2021, there's $110,000 to buy a bus.
Another bus to replace.
I mean, does that make a lot of sense that in 1 year it's going to cost $84,000 and the next year another bus like it is going to cost $110,000? I'm not sure how that calculates. That's pretty big inflation right there.
Well, so just keep in mind that the 2021 budget number is not an appropriation at this time, so it would come back when we're able to refine those estimates. I'm recalling that the quote that came in for the budget for the bus this year was less than we had anticipated, so maybe it's still an inflated number, but we would revise that when we come to budget next year if it's still in the proposed plan.
Any more? For now? Okay, thank you, John. Does anybody else have anything on Section I? And then Section J, that was excellent, the list of funds, we talked about that, and the acronyms, that's very helpful, the definitions. So thank you, Jennifer, Sandy, and staff for that. That's very helpful.
All right, so any closing comments on the, you've answered our questions. I think we've gone over many of the questions. Does anybody have any closing comments or questions on this budget?
I have a question. This kind of, well, okay. It's not in the budget, but it's the Surf Street stairs / ADA ramp. And the question I had is, so last year in the original budget we looked at, there was an item for $41,000 to do engineering on a project with a total cost of $305,000. And we were told that it was an error, that $41,000 was not intended for the 18-19 fiscal year. It was supposed to be in the 19-20 fiscal year, and so that was changed. But now I understand that the project is somewhere in the vicinity of $800,000, and I'm just wondering if you can explain in general terms what the difference is between the $305,000 from last year and the $800,000 from this year.
The lower cost project was based on about 5 minutes work before a budget meeting to get those numbers together. The $800,000 was based on a detailed engineering cost estimate on some preliminary design plans.
So does the $800,000 include property acquisition?
It's all within the right-of-way.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on the budget? So, Jennifer, you have enough information from our feedback here, from our comments without, since we don't have a note-taker yet until we discuss that later and decide?
I do. Is there any kind of general consensus statement that you'd like me to share with the council?
Okay, folks, I think we're in general in consensus with the budget as presented. We, you know, a couple of us expressed some concerns.
I was very pleased with the way you managed to balance the budget, the changes that you made to come up with a $345,000 shortfall that you had. So that was very well done. I thought the changes you made were good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, so I'll just share that it was reviewed by the committee and in general supportive of the budget as proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And with
that we
some
appreciate,
comments, yeah.
You know, coming back with additional revenues and how those should be appropriated, similar to like we do on Measure Q. That we would like that opportunity.
Okay, you would see those in any. It would likely come with the first quarter or mid-year.
Oh, okay, good. All right, then. Did I miss anybody, Dave? Okay. So then that will take us to business item B2, which was the review of the third quarter investment report.
Thank you. I'm not going to say very much on this in the interest of time since there is another item after that. We're really looking and recommending kind of a holding period right now until we get more information on the funding for the wharf and how that's going to play out. I know there's a question about the about $500,000. We have $5 million. Oh my gosh, $5 million that we have between our two Robo accounts, $2.5 million in each. So we don't have a dedicated treasurer. We'd have to determine. You know, we don't go through daily and analyze what our outstanding checks are and how much we need to transfer back and forth. We are allowed 15 transfers to LEAF without a fee. However, the lower balances that we keep in Rabo would be result in reduced credits that we offset our banking charges with. So we'd have to analyze that based on some cash flow analysis we did when we recommended the liquidity level. We came up with that $2.5 million in each of those two accounts as kind of a target point, and then we transfer between there. Our LAIF is performing pretty well at 2.5%. Again, that's much lower than what the SRF loan interest rate would be if we signed today. So that would be why we'd likely change our cash flow analysis if we were to be awarded that. So if there's any questions.
Yes, I thought, saw that explanation. It was good. Go ahead, Homer.
Just a quick question. In the answer to one of the questions that was submitted by the committee, you say that you want to keep $2.5 million in our two Rabobank accounts for cash flow purposes. Is that each?
Yes, each. That's what we're kind of targeting.
Because the total was
so the money market and the sweep, so it's a $5 million between the two.
Lois, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to point out that that delta between what we're receiving in interest on those robo-bank accounts and what's in the LAIF account is $97,000 a year. So let's just be really sure, because we could sure use that money. That's the difference in interest.
Oh, thank you for that calculation. That's significant.
It is significant, but keep in mind we allocate our interest based on cash in the funds, so that's not general fund necessarily. Most of that would go to where we have our highest cash balances, the water and sewer funds.
But that's true, but regardless.
It is still money. Again, yeah. Several cities have designated treasurer positions to analyze this daily.
Oh, I see.
I would say that at this point, we don't have capacity to do that. Mm-hmm. We're kind of maxed out on capacity. Yeah. So unless something else comes off the table and that's assigned as a duty, or there's a position added to do that at some level, they're not all full-time positions. Some of them are elected part-time positions, but there are typically a designated position in some form to do that.
Okay, thank you. Comments noted. John, did you have some comments?
And I think you said in the past that with this, the specter of this very large capital project, you don't feel safe to keep less money in the local accounts than what you're doing, and I understand that. I suppose when the day comes that that project is complete, you may take a fresh look at this, but that's going to be a few years off. I just want to congratulate you for making a very big improvement on the yield that the city is getting here from your investment accounts. And it looks like you've made some pretty wise CD purchases where you're getting a pretty good interest rate north of 3% on those, and that's for the next 5 years or whatever they are. I did have a question for you, though. You say here that as of March 31st, 2019, the city recorded $249,096 in interest earnings. Is that just for the 3 months of the third quarter?
No, that would be through the date, through March 31st, but you're not capturing, it's delayed. So you probably did not have March in that. I'd have to go back and look.
So this is for 9 months, but not counting LAIF?
No, that would be our...
How many months is this?
Should be 8 months.
Okay, 8 months.
And it should include LAIF.
Okay.
I will confirm that and email you, but I believe that's the case.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer, for that. Anything else on the investment report from anybody? Good. All right, let's move on then to item B3. This is the review of the WRF Capital Project monthly update report. And again, thank you for those questions, and Rob and Eric, whoever else had to help with the WRF questions, we appreciate getting those back. This is just the monthly report. We will get a detailed one, or more detailed in the quarterly. So I just want to go back to the title page, because we did have a question on that, and that's on page 96 of 105 on the agenda. So when it says monthly report April 2019, that means everything through April 30th, the last day of the month. Is that correct when you're talking about costs and schedule accomplishments?
That's my understanding.
That's right? Okay. And then it says draft May 2019.
It was prepared in May.
In May,
April.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. I would almost put a preparation date on that May, because if you do another one in a week for council or somebody, and somebody's looking at it, so monthly report,
If that's confusing to anybody else, I don't know. I figured it out.
I think
out,
it is a good point to put the date on, because these get revised so that it's clear on which version somebody's got, and presumably we'll get a final.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, thanks,
Jim. It just helps if people look at two different documents
right, rather
than saying May.
Okay, who would like to, who has some comments? Go ahead, Bill.
I'd like to just start it off with the Corolla contract. You know, in reading the Corolla contract and the Amendment 1 to the contract, a couple of things are obvious. The first contract, $292,000, phase one was completed, a deliverable. The response I got was, you don't need any of the deliverable. I would sure like to see this three-year roadmap that was the deliverable for the first phase. Okay, the next really big problem that I have with the contract is there absolutely are no incentives in the contract other than now the new contract. Phase two is $1.6 million. I guess the incentive is spend it all to all time and materials. There's no penalty. There's no incentive to reduce cost. And so I think there, I would like to propose, and this be a recommendation to council, that a subcommittee of the CFAC possibly be used to go work with the city staff in finding a way to go modify the Corolla contract to provide appropriate incentives that those of us that are very familiar with contracting can add to that, so we have a program manager who is incentivized to reduce costs, not just spend all the money that has been allocated to him. If I could make that motion, I'd like to move that we recommend that the council get a subcommittee of the CFAC to work with the city staff and propose modifications to the contract. Maybe someone would like to help
me
modify that.
Can I make a comment before you make that motion?
Please. Go ahead, Bart.
Call for the question, then we comment, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out, in looking at the estimates from rate study to where we are now, the category, there are not many, just a couple categories, but the category that basically is primarily Corolla and staff was $5 million and change. It's gone up by $1.2 million in less than a year. So the category with Corolla significantly in it in less than a year has gone up $1 million. I don't know how much staff time is in there. I suspect not a lot. So I think we need to basically reinforce where Bill's coming from. What happened? Who's watching that? Does a council know that the Corolla contract went up $1 million? They were provided with the 17 PCOs for the $2 million. Do they know that went up? Because it looks like we're where we were with MKN. There's no incentive other than to spend as much as they can get.
So let me, is there a page that you're referring to in the report? I would just add that we cannot expense more to Corolla than we have a signed contract for. So if they're ahead of schedule, or if there's a reason they're over based on the schedule, once we're out of money based with an approved contract, we'd have to come back to council.
I'm just going by the reports, the few that we've been given. We have a rate study that had, if you just one page with just not a lot of numbers on it, one of which is 5.1. If you look at the report, the line item that equates to that is up by $1.2 million. Someone created that document and put that estimate in. I don't know who. I'm assuming it's Corolla because they basically did this. That's who you're assigning this to. So they have done a re-estimate that it kept the total down a little bit. So that's a good thing, right? But their part of it went up by $1 million. So anyway, all I'm doing is saying that now to reinforce, I think, the need, because the first incentive is they've already put someone has made an estimate that's in their report that says their cost estimate is up by $1 million. I understand they don't get more than, but why do we estimate $1 million more?
And where is that number in this report in front of you? Is there a page that you can?
Yeah. 5.16 in the rate study, and it's now in the project report,
which is
5.1 plus the sunk costs. And now the total of those is 7.5.
The other thing, we'll look at those numbers. The other thing I just want to clarify is that there are potentially legal concerns with, first of all, the contract's been negotiated and executed. To reopen the contract, I mean, realistically, what is the incentive for Corolla to do that? There's already a signed contract that's underway that's been approved by council. There's potentially legal concerns about incorporating incentives in there that we'd have to discuss with our attorney. I'm again, not an expert in that, so I don't want to say, but I can think of some negotiation or issues that may come up with that. And then also, I want to make sure we stay on track with the direction of this committee to review the report. So I understand, you know, you're pointing out and questioning one of the estimates in here, so we can look into that. But I don't know that we legally can negotiate cost incentives for a project manager that does not have full control over a project. There are delays on the city side that would inhibit them completing the project potentially as scheduled as we go through potential, you know, litigation holds or anything like that, as our county meetings are delayed. There's a variety of reasons why that could come up and be problematic. I'm not saying we can't do it right now, but I'm not sure that we can either.
But it certainly would make sense to go ahead and do that. Just, you know, as Bart points out where we are now, part of it is difficult when you look at the KPIs. The one KPI that Bart referred to is the one that talks general project costs. And that's the one you don't know how much is city, how much is Corolla. It would be good to break those apart so there is visibility as to which piece is which. You know, and it does seem at this point in the project to have that overrunning is worthy of further investigation. And then just the lack of incentives in the contract. Any contract can be modified, and you make excellent points about making sure the lawyers are involved and we do things that, and Corolla would have to agree, which I think we have quite a bit of leverage in that sense, and I can't imagine they wouldn't agree to positive changes to the contract where they could get more money, too. You'd like to have incentives, not just punishments, things where they could earn more than just the time and material. So.
You know, my experience in the commercial world is you're right, any contract or change order can be modified. Unfortunately, at least in big IT service contracts, your opportunity to do that is when you negotiate the contract, not to come back. And my concern would be that we would just encourage further delays and legal holds and everything else that will just eat up the cost faster than any kind of cost savings. Now, I know that some of this came up at WRFCAC in terms of the construction contract and some incentives that I believe are in there. I haven't reviewed it myself, more along the construction. But in terms of program management, in terms of how much we spent previously, already those sunk costs are gone. I don't think the Corolla... I don't think it's unusual. You know, it's costly, and every time we get a delay or citizens, you know, wanting to, you know, threaten to sue and all the other comments we see, all that is just, you know, and then everything has to go back to legal for more review. That's just increasing our costs. So I understand what you're asking for, Bill. I'm not sure with this particular you know, that we could even pull that off, and if we did, if it would be. But I'm interested in my colleagues' points.
I tend to agree with Barbara and Jen as much as I this was brought up before because we had the contract with MKN, which had no incentive. The city council openly talked about trying to make sure when we went to this new arrangement that there would be incentives. So it was discussed that we should try to have incentives. They're not there. Well, I don't know that they're not. I haven't seen the contract. So this was talked about, and it was encouraged by the city council to, in fact, have incentives. So however the contract was discussed, it was discussed with at least that thought or that preamble to try to get in there, whether it's there or not. From looking at the numbers, the estimates, it doesn't appear that that worked too well.
Well, certainly my assessment, and you can quote me on this and record it, I hope, is that if we stay on the current path, we are going to well exceed the $126 million on the project. We, as any large project does, when they get started on a project, they have a big cost reduction effort. And I see lots of cost reduction opportunities. I see a lot of incentives to keep city employees charging time to this project, Corolla employees charging time to this project. I don't see any incentive to go ahead and reduce the total cost of the project, and we could do that, and it'd be worth the effort. And I would like to think that City Council would like to say, is there a way we can go ahead and reduce this? We can wait for the WIFIA loan and the SRF loan maybe to give us lower interest rates, and that certainly is a good thing to do, but there are other things that we can do that are real substantive things to go ahead and reduce the cost of the estimated cost of this project. And so if we just let it go the way it is, I just don't see there being the incentives to go ahead and stay on contract. Everyone wants to stay on cost, of course. All programs do. Anyone who's modified a house probably has recognized that you probably always have an overrun. You look at many government projects. The only government projects that typically come in on cost are when you have a follow-on exactly the same. We're not doing exactly the same for whatever reason. We're doing something unique and very good, but it requires a lot of effort, so it's worthy of an initiative to try to reduce the cost of that project. If any of my associates would agree that some effort should be put forward to find ways to do that. That doesn't involve getting Corolla. To modify the contract, we don't have to have Corolla involved. We could have a discussion to come up with ways to go ahead and modify and put incentives that we think Corolla would like, and then have a discussion to see if they would like those kind of incentives in the program.
Good points. Other comments? Any?
On that issue?
Yeah, or related to the subject, yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the support is, but if you want to make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we propose to the council that they have a subcommittee of the CFAC work with staff to see if there are ways that we can work on reducing the overall cost of the WRF program.
Thank you, Bill. Is there a second to that motion?
I have a question. Can I ask him a question?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Do we have the expertise on this committee to be on that subcommittee?
Well, I think we have some of it. I think I can certainly participate. I certainly think Martin and Dave would be very good participants that could help in looking at ways to go ahead and reduce cost.
That's a good point, Homer. That was my concern. That's why I wouldn't volunteer to be on if that motion were to pass. But go ahead, Dave.
What would be the role of the WRFCAC in that effort? Because it seems to me that they should be possibly looking at cost reduction ideas as well. I mean, are they going to be involved in this, or is it just going to be the CFAC?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. If we can have a subcommittee from the CFAC and a subcommittee of the WRFCAC, maybe that gets around, lives within the constraints of the Brown Act, and work together with the city to find a way to go ahead and reduce the cost.
So let me just clarify how that would be different from what was completed by the Blue Ribbon Task Force when you reviewed the rate study going on, and you were successful in reducing the cost of the project with eliminating the deconstruction of the current facility and a variety of other top ways as
piping
to how you
everything.
Spread, right. Mm-hmm. So there's been at least one attempt at doing that with experts from the community or members of the community. Also, I want to keep in mind the purpose of this committee's review of WRF is to review the financials before they go to council. So this is the draft or the report to go to council. If there's comments on what's in here, that's really the agendized item. Mm-hmm. Anything beyond that would need to be agendized for discussion.
Can I make a suggestion, Bill? If you haven't already done this, why don't you and somebody else on the committee that's interested in pursuing this have a meeting with the city manager, who's stated that he's the ultimate responsibility for this project, and talk to him about it, get his input, and then bring it back at a future meeting and tell us what came out of that meeting. Just a suggestion.
Can we do that with someone from WharfCAC, like Donnelly or somebody?
Sure.
Is that, I don't know what these rules are. I maybe go to the meeting on Thursday.
I think that's a good idea. Do that, something with the couple of people from WharfCAC, maybe a couple of people from this committee to do that and meet with the... I think it would be a wonderful assistant to the city manager since he's doing this all himself. I mean, I've met with him, and he reviews every change, everything. I mean, it's an amazing project. I mean, I had the same kind of experience he had, being new to a job and never wanting to ask for help because, you know, you must be smart enough and bright enough to do the job. Of course, when I go back through my past, I wish I had been smarter and braver and more willing to ask for help. And I think Scott could use the help. He may not know he needs it, and maybe he doesn't need it. Maybe he is brilliant and very lucky and make all the right decisions. But to have some people there that would help him look at the project to reduce the cost might be something he would like. So that I'll take that under advisement. If someone would like to join me, and we'll set up a meeting with Scott and someone from WharfCAC or a couple of people from WharfCAC to meet with Scott on that subject.
Rob, are you going to make a comment, or Jen? I'm sorry.
Sure. Regarding cost incentives to reduce costs, baked into the existing contract with our design build team, Black & Veatch Freelance, are two provisions for cost savings. One is through value engineering, reducing the cost through design, which they, now that they have the conceptual design report completed, they'll be moving on to design, cost savings there, and then early finish. As we all know, the longer a project takes, the more it's going to cost. So early finish, we share, there's a cost sharing plan in there. The three major components, well, four. The design build of the facility itself, the construction of the conveyance system, and the construction of the injection wells are the lion's share of the project costs. The program management is about 8% of total project costs. I would think if we're looking at substantial cost savings, we would want to focus it on the major components of the cost. The facility, the $67 million or $69 million facility now. The conveyance system, which is still in design, and the injection system, which has just started design. So that's just my comments. Thank you.
Yeah, those are great points, Mr. Levick.
Thanks. Jen, you were going to comment.
I was just going to add that our city manager is the ultimate authority for everything that happens in the city. Mm-hmm. However, he has a team supporting him behind that. So Carol is our project manager, our utilities manager, and public works director are very actively involved in all those conversations. Our public works director reviews all the invoices that come in from Corolla and any of the other vendors. Our budget and finance manager also reviews them to make sure that we have a contract to pay them on. We're constantly monitoring that capital project and the expenditures in there. And then ultimately, of course, the city manager. So there's multiple tiers of review and level of review that go through the city process for this project.
Just a couple more levels of review. Also, our council really makes the decisions, final decisions on the project, and they are backed up with a appointed WHRF subcommittee The mayor and councilperson McPherson sit on that subcommittee that meets regularly with the program management team also.
Thank you, Rob, for that. All right, so it sounds like we have several levels of review. We have a, I believe, a open motion. Is any further discussion or a second to that motion?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Dave.
The idea of this subcommittee, how does that fit in with our committee's work plan? And would the council need to be supportive of that before we go down that direction? I would think that they would need to support the idea of having a subcommittee of this committee and possibly a member from the WORFCAC talking to staff about cost reductions.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Without your support, I don't see that, right. I don't see this going anywhere.
Okay, so good point. Thank you for keeping me on track. What we have now is a suggestion and an offer that we don't even have a second on right now if we want to carry that forward. We don't have that on the work plan, and in fact, what's on our work plan is, as we've said, the financial review, and you could make the point that this is related to that, but it's not on the work plan right now. And it was only recently transferred, somewhat recently, from WORFCAC. So that means something else would have to, if we're going to do it, drop off, possibly. We have a limited amount of resources and expertise. So my thought would be, even if we want to discuss this, we need to understand if staff and council will support that. We're trying to balance not micromanaging the project, but we're trying to balance how we can give some good advice, but without, and we are, this is the first or second monthly report we've got, so maybe our resources are better spent on advising on these reports and getting them to a standard that we believe we can accept and the community.
Yeah, I agree. We're limited on time. Just one quick thing to get in. It was the council was advised that the $2 million for the change orders was only $2 million out of a $6 million contingency. That's not correct. There was a $3 million contingency for the WRF. There was another $3 million contingency for the project. I'm quoting from this guy here, so I'm not making this up. $3 million was put there, I think, by the Blue Ribbon Committee just to say, hey, look, some things can happen. And generally, those things would be something other than where we have a fixed-price contract. So anyways, the contingency for the WRF specifically was roughly $3 million. And the $2 million used up two-thirds of that. So would they have done anything differently because of that? I don't think so. But just to put in perspective, that's the case. What I've asked for is to basically get a document that tracks us from this to the estimates that we have today. The more universal comment that many of us have made, and I guess Homer added these, it has to do with the schedule. And he pulled out the two biggest figures. This guy clearly shows that we're about a year behind the schedule that was proposed. This one, I don't think, is based on the same schedule, is my sense. But if you look at the dark blue and light blue, all of the dark blue, in theory, should be up till April 30th. And virtually every item of the 10 are there. Are behind, and we don't have visibility. There was no discussion as to why that is. I made a suggestion that we should look at the detailed schedule, but I'd like to get to understand why, because at least three of us have honed in on the issue of where are we on the schedule, because the documents that you provided to us through the project report say we're behind. So, and with no explanation. The words imply we're doing really great and we're getting everything done, but the documents that you provided to us suggest otherwise.
So the first document, Bart, was pointing to, and had a $3.1 million reserve, but that's because, as my recollection was, that was the funding for 122.8, and then the total funding was the 126, was additional accumulation funds. Is that what you remember, Homer, from that?
No, not exactly.
Okay.
I don't think we have time to discuss it at this meeting, but maybe we could put this on a future agenda to explain the reserve policies for the two lenders in more detail, Ms. Calloway? Because that's kind of a, that can be a very confusing thing to people. But the difference between the 122 whatever and the 126, if I understand, if I recall correctly, is the lender's loan reserve requirements. Is that correct? Okay.
I'd have to go back and look at what that page, Mr. Rickman, that you had there. Is that from the rate study? I couldn't really
see. Looking at, yeah, both of us look at the same document. You got to really understand something that we don't see. This clearly implies reasonably that somebody looked at this and said, you know, why don't we put on just a little more contingency for this overall project? And that makes sense to me. So I didn't have a problem with doing that at all. But it's clearly, the way it's displayed here, maybe it wasn't the intent, but the way it's displayed isn't a lending issue as much as it is a capital requirement contingency reserve issue. That's the way it's portrayed. That may not be what the intent was.
We're looking at page 7 of the rate study.
Bartles and Wells.
So I don't have the rate study in front of me, but I'll go and refer to that.
Yeah, the description is total with reserve contingency. And I remember during our meetings that we had a lot of discussion about the reserve and how it moved, and it was a little over my head, to be honest with you. John understood it.
There is usually a reserve component that's required when we do SRF funding. We have that, for example, with our loan on the fire station. We have to keep an indenture set aside. We did have conversations about what those would be. I think we tried to incorporate those in our reserve policies that we adopted, but that is speaking to the cash balance at the bottom of those cash flow projections in the rate study. And again, I don't have that in front of me, so I'm not sure if that's what the chart you're looking at is or not. I believe the $6 million was contingency for the wharf project, and I'm not sure how it's displayed there, but it's something we can agendize and discuss if that's what we need to do. But maybe I need to have a chance to go back and look at it and then be able to respond to the question or comment as to what it is.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so we're still on this section. We're on the section or agenda item B3 on the WRF report. We've had some discussion. We've had a motion. I don't know if there's a second to that motion or you're going to pull back the motion or what based on our discussion.
I'll pull back the motion, but I think the recommendation is that I would meet with the city manager, get someone from the WRF CAC to join me, and ideally someone else from the CFAC to meet with me, if someone would volunteer to do that.
I would certainly.
Okay, I'll go ahead and try to set something up in the next couple of weeks to do that.
I think, Jennifer, you'll have to take that back to the city manager. Obviously, we can't speak for him. He would have to agree.
Yeah, but he's very welcome to schedule meetings with people. He's told me he meets with most people on the WRF CAC almost on a weekly basis. So,
yeah, our city manager has a very open-door policy and should be happy to meet with you. I would suggest meeting with him as an interested member of the public and maybe not bring it together as it's not a subcommittee yet that hasn't been formed. So I'm not sure you need a vote
or a
motion to do that at this point.
Good idea. We'll do that.
Good point. And then you're not speaking for the whole either one of the two committees, so thanks. Okay, thanks for that suggestion, Jennifer. All right. All right. Are there any other comments on section or item, agenda item B3?
I'd like to discuss the format of the report, if that's okay.
Oh, please. Go ahead.
I didn't make enough copies of this, but this was part of the last month's quarterly report.
We can share.
Somebody have to share. These are pages titled Project Summary and then Project Detail. The reason I brought these is that when I went back and I tried to compare the monthly to the quarterly, I wanted to see what was missing. And I saw these two pages, and I thought that these were pretty informative, and it triggered some thoughts about the changes, change orders, when you look at the column two, total contracted cost and total projected cost, sort of indicated to me how much money the project team is anticipating they might receive in future change orders. Mm-hmm. And that was a question that was responded to, and the answer was that when this was published last month, the change orders that were approved last week at the city council meeting were not included, but they had anticipated them, and they're in that column four, total projects cost. So I'd like to see us recommend that these two sections be added to the monthly, because I think it's valuable information that we should have every month, if people concur with that, since it's only two pages.
Where was that document found, Homer?
That was in the quarterly report we got last meeting.
Okay.
These two pages came right out of that report.
Okay.
So your suggestion is include those two, all these charts on those two pages in our monthly report.
Yes. And even though that goes to the city council, it's two more. I mean, the monthly report you gave us is, what, six pages or something? I don't think this is a burden to anybody.
So, Jennifer, is Carolla preparing this anyways every month for city council, as Homer said?
Carolla is preparing a monthly report. You have the draft in front of you for the city council. The format has been approved, so if there's recommendations to change or add that, I would suggest making a motion, and we'll share that with council and get direction from them. It's also a conversation that we would have to have with Eric Caceres on any additional amount of time it might take to generate those. They might be very easily generated. I don't know, since I don't do those. But if there is more time involved, if that's an added cost.
I have a couple more changes I'd like to suggest. There are copies of this document in the back of the room for those in attendance that want to look at it. The cash flow report, when it's printed in color, if you look at March 19th, for instance, there's at one heavy line is actually two lines. It's a budgeted dollar amount and an actual dollar amount, which you can't even read. My suggestion is that since the city council did not approve the site for the water reclamation facility until September of 2017, that this entire half of the report goes away, allowing this half of the report to expand in a way that would become much more readable. Does that make sense to people? Since everything on this first half of the page is history and can't be changed, and who cares? And I'd also recommend we take that farther and the timeline do the same thing. I realize that some of the items on the timeline did take place prior to September of 17, but maybe they could just be lump-summed with a note that, you know, I mean, for instance, the May of 2015 rate increase did fund parts of the project, et cetera. And I know you've done some environmental work previously and things like that. But again, it would make it a lot easier for people to see and read. Those are my three suggestions on the format of the report.
Or you could very easily, without just forgetting about the last 3 months, just compress it so that instead of listing every month, it's a year, and that way you'd still get it all on there. But those columns would be a lot skinnier if that's easier for him to do. That would be a suggestion.
I'm personally in full agreement with the last two. Those can be done unbelievably easily. The first one, I've tried to not worry about the format of the report, but just concentrate on what we happen to actually have there to deal with, which is a lot. It says we're behind. It says costs are changing and we don't know why. So I'm indifferent to the first one because it may mean more work. The last two.
What's the first one?
The first one is these other pages, and I don't know what's being provided now.
Well, I think he's.
I will totally support the changes, the last two, because that's easy.
I thought maybe I misunderstood Rob or Eric's response to the question when I asked it in the email, that this was being prepared monthly anyway, the project summary and the project detail. I may have misunderstood the answer.
The data is being entered, so I believe you're right that to produce those pages is not a big work effort to do.
Thank you.
The pages with the charts. Thank you, Rob. How do the rest of the my consensus is if these are very easy things to do and the rest of the committee wants them, fine. I'm just hesitant if he says it's two more billable hours just to produce monthly reports that we get quarterly, I could forgo that. But I'm interested in anybody else, their opinion. So maybe our recommendation is can we find out definitively, well, first of all, are we all in agreement we would like to see these changes as Homer and I have suggested?
Agreed.
Okay. And then we are all in agreement that we don't want to incur any additional work effort if it's, you know, a snap of a hitting a key on the keyboard. That's what we want, or something very simple. And so I think, Jennifer, we're asking if you could, you or Rob, I guess it might be more appropriate that it's Rob, but I don't want to make assignments, just as part of our feedback, see if we could get those changes.
Okay. We'll share that with the council. I believe the monthly reports are on consent, so I guess we'll include that maybe in the staff report. That's the cover memo. But I'll talk to our city manager about how to do that.
Okay, thank you. All right, we don't have much time left. If we're finished with this agenda item B3, can we talk on, that takes us to future agenda items. Jennifer, what do we have on board for the June 18th meeting?
I need to complete a third quarter budget update.
Yeah.
So it should have been on this month. It wasn't possible to get done.
Right. We talked about that. That's fine.
So you'll see a late third quarter report. And at the
That's
moment,
for this fiscal year, folks. Yeah.
For this fiscal year. The budget will have been adopted. So, and then you would have a WARF report for May.
I'm sorry, would you say the budget will have been
already adopted, so
yeah.
I wouldn't plan to bring that back unless there was a direction to do that. There would be a May WARF report as well.
Okay. Anything else from anybody?
Yeah, for a future agenda item, I noticed the title of this committee is Oversight Committee, also acting in the capacity of a Finance Advisory Committee. And when I read the verbiage that established us because of Measure Q, it becomes very clear that this is an oversight committee. And so I would like to propose at the next meeting, or we discuss perhaps now very shortly, a method of oversight which works very effectively if members could be invited to not participate, but just sit in and listen. When every other week there's a workshop on WARF, for example, and we're supposed to be doing financial analysis of the WARF finances. It'd be very helpful to sit in. At least whoever would sit in would have confidence or would get to see something. And if they saw something, they'd bring back to the committee, talk to the city manager, and not to take any time at all, but at least make us, enable us to be better informed in fulfilling our oversight responsibilities, since we are an oversight committee. Maybe not intended to be, but we are, and it seems the best way to provide advice is to have enough oversight so you can make advice, as opposed to just get reports that you're not, you may not feel confident that all the things that should be in the report are in the report.
Madam Chairman, in regards to the Oversight Committee, that's only in regards to Measure Q, am I correct?
That's absolutely correct. That was determined by legal, and that's why we have that long name, Citizens Oversight Committee, acting in the capacity of Citizens.
But that's not what is written. It's not what's written in the city code, nor is it written in our charter of bylaws.
Another item for your discussion with the city manager.
Yeah, well, but I like to go with the law is the law. If we follow what our bylaws are and you read what the city code is, we are an oversight committee. Maybe that wasn't the intent. We need to modify that, but why not? I mean, good idea, Homer, to say, here's a way to do oversight of a sort which doesn't cause any interference, doesn't cost any money, and might be a very helpful thing to do. But
I haven't read, certainly lately, the municipal code. I have read the bylaws. In fact, I have some open changes suggested through council, which is on the priority list of what to do, but they don't relate to that. They relate more to some administrative things.
Can I make a motion to adjourn?
Oh, Jennifer was going to say something. Did you? No, okay.
It would just take a vote of the committee to add anything else. Otherwise, it would be an appropriate conversation to have with maybe the city manager.
Okay, right. With the city manager. Thanks. Okay, we have a motion to adjourn.
Yeah, I second. If anyone wants to see the city code, I have that here, and I have our bylaws here, so we can read what's okay. Written.
Thanks, Bill. Okay, motion second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Carries 7-0. Thank you, staff, and thank you, audience, for participation. No, that's okay.